So I never thought I was ever going to be a pastor. When the Lord sent me to seminary, I knew he wanted me to go to seminary. I had not the least desire to be a pastor. He put me in as a pastor. I never thought I would be a missionary. And on a lark, went to Mexico on a vacation with somebody that I was interested in romantically. And her brother-in-law was a pastor, and we stayed with her brother-in-law, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "This is where I want you to be." Now, that's pretty amazing when God puts you in a foreign country with a foreign language and you feel at home. Only God could do something like that, I really believe. And I was excited. I was like, "God, this is amazing. I've been in other countries of the world that were English-speaking, and I didn't feel at home when I went to Canada or when I went to England or places like that. I mean, they were nice. They were pretty." God is so amazing. And I want to speak especially to you teens, because I have a 17-year-old daughter who just graduated. The Lord has good plans for each one of you. And he created you with the personality, the body, and the dreams that are going to take you where he wants you to be. Don't ever believe the lie. You know, don't ever believe the lie that what you want can't be God's will. Because the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And when I put him first in my life, he changes. He gives me new desires. But he uses the desires that he's planted, I believe, in our DNA. And my mother used to tell me, I'm not crying because I'm sad, okay? She used to say, "Joel, when you were born, we knew that you had a special destiny, a special spiritual destiny." I believe all of us have special spiritual destinies. And the neat thing is that when we just surrender and go, "Lord, you know, I exist for you. You created me. The only reason I exist is because you gave me life." And you will never be more fulfilled in your life than when you do the will of God. I don't do the will of God to be fulfilled. It's a byproduct of submitting myself to the Lord and being obedient to him. But he longs for us. He's glorified when we are most satisfied and filled in him. That gives him great glory. And when people go, "Wow, you know, you just seem like you're so joyful and you're so happy." I'm like, "Why wouldn't I be?" Because I get the privilege of bringing people to Jesus, of setting people, of being an instrument to set people free, and live in a country where I feel at home, even though it's very foreign. And God will do the same thing for each one of you, and that includes the adults too. Because a lot of times there are people in church who are running from God's will for their life, you know? I used to get mad when people would ask me, "Are you going to be a pastor?" I would say, "No, of course not." "Me? No." Let's pray before we go on. Lord Jesus, you're so incredible. You're such an all-powerful God. And Lord, you work all things together for good in our lives, so that we can reflect the image of Jesus. So that we can accomplish the mission that you have for us. And Lord, I just pray that you would put your words, your truth, and everything that's said and done would give you glory today. But most of all, that we would come to a place in our lives where we trust you. Even when we don't understand circumstances that don't make sense, that are painful, that seem perhaps even cruel. Father, thank you that your goodness and your faithfulness go with us every day of our lives, and we can trust you because you are a completely trustworthy God. Thank you that we don't have to understand the why, the what. All we have to do is trust you, your promises, and believe that you are faithful and that you are sovereignly orchestrating circumstances in our lives that will give you eternal glory and will fill us with joy as we submit to your lordship. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you today. We open ourselves up to the precious Holy Spirit to be our teacher, our sanctifier, our comforter. And Lord, let your light fall on all of us to scatter darkness that has robbed and defrauded us of walking in victory, in peace, in faith. We bless you today. Thank you, Lord. You know, I can't think of anything that fills me with more joy than being able to bring somebody to Jesus, to the feet of Jesus. And it was several months ago that I was praying and going, Lord, how is it possible that I've been in Mexico for 7 months and I haven't had the privilege of bringing someone to Jesus? I mean, you know, seeing that person receive Jesus. And I said, Lord, today I want to see somebody. I want somebody to, I want, today I want, how is it possible? Father, you sent me to be a missionary. It's like, how is it possible? Today I want someone to receive Jesus. And so I was walking around and I didn't feel like the Lord directed me to anybody. And I was kind of a little discouraged. I got on the bus. My cell phone rang and it was a doctor friend of mine. He said, will you please come to my office? I have someone who has cancer, who's had a relapse, and I want you to pray for them. Well, his office just happened to be a few blocks from where I was. I said, I'll be there in a few minutes. Got off. He presents me with this 65-year-old geologist, very well-to-do. It was very obvious from everything about him that he was quite well-to-do. This man, you would have thought I was Benny Hinn, you know, coming to pray for him. He said, you prayed for somebody that I know that was healed of diabetes. And I was like, well, that's great, you know. And he was just like a little kid. He had no arrogance, which typically well-to-do people in Mexico are generally snotty as they can be. And this man was just as humble and as kind and as gracious. He was so excited. And I said, we're going to pray for you. And I believe the Lord's going to tell this cancer to leave, to dry up, to go. And we're going to believe God for that. Well, I felt such a freedom as I prayed for him. And then I said, you know what? Because he was so excited. He said, I can't believe you came to pray for me. And I said, well, it's fun to pray for people. And I said, you know what? Jesus wants to be much more than your healer. He wants to be your Savior. And I shared the gospel with him. And just like a little kid, he received it.
Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah.
You know, we don't have so many times because we don't ask. Mm. And I would challenge you to say, Lord, you know, I want to have the privilege of yes. connecting with people who are ready to receive. Ready to receive. And since that day, God has been literally throwing people at me. I mean, throwing them. You know, I'm at work and all the other ministers are out that day and people come for counseling and they've never even been to church. They don't even know what a Christian is. They just know the reputation of the church. And I'm like going, well, how long have you been a Christian? I'm not a Christian. What? Oh, okay. Pray to receive the Lord. Right there. But I was on the bus one day, I don't know, about a month after this encounter happened, and the bus stops and this elderly man sits, and he sits right across from me directly. The buses are like this way. They're like Volkswagen vans, and so you sit across and then they'll have others. So this man's staring at me. I mean, like, really staring at me. In fact, I was about ready to say, excuse me, I know I'm handsome, but, you know, would you please, no, I wouldn't say that. And he goes, I am feeling so sad and lonely. And he said, I have so much pain in my leg. I said, well, what's your problem? No, I have a sciatic nerve, and it's really hurting. So I looked at him. I said, how old are you, sir? He said, I'm 93.
Wow.
He looked like he was 70. I said, well, I believe the Lord wants to heal you. And I said, I would love to pray for you because I believe the Lord wants to heal your leg.
Yes.
I said, where are you going? He says, well, I'm going to the hospital. He said, I've been a widower for 10 years. I live all by myself. And he said, I just feel sad. And I said, well, the Lord wants to minister to your needs. I said, I'm going to go with you to the hospital if that's okay. And I said, I would like to pray for you. So we went to the hospital. The appointment was postponed. And so we sat down outside. We sat on a bench and there were like four people on the side. And I thought, Lord, I'm going to evangelize five people in one setting here because they're going to hear this. So I said, well, let me pray for your leg. I said, and so I prayed for his leg. I said, okay, now stand up and tell me if you feel any pain. He said, no, it's all gone. I said, well, that's kind of cool. I said, look how Jesus is manifesting his love to you. I said, what other issues do you have? He said, well, I'm very hard of hearing. I said, well, let's pray right now. In Jesus' name, prayed for him. His eyes got real big. He says, I can hear a whole lot better. I said, well, I'm not surprised. The same Jesus that raised people from the dead can heal people when their hearing is... I said, let's pray again and ask the Lord for more. So we prayed again, and I said, Lord, more healing, more hearing. And I said, what happened? He said, I can hear even better. I said, isn't that amazing? I said, let me explain to you what Jesus wants to do in your heart. Because he's really interested in your heart. And I shared the gospel with him. And this 93-year-old man, like a little child, prayed to receive Jesus. And I thought to myself, God, I'm not sure who was happier, him or me. I was on a high. I couldn't believe it. I thought, this man is 93 years old. I looked at him and I said, sir, you know, I'm not trying to scare you, but you're 93. You know, I'm not sure that you've got a lot of time left on this earth. And you need to be ready to meet Jesus because you're going to meet him. And that might not be a very good meeting if you're not ready to meet him. And he was like, praise the Lord. This is the Catholic Mexican. That's not the way that they do things. Okay, so I share that with you to let you know we're all called to be missionaries.
Yes.
That doesn't mean we're going to leave the country necessarily. But for example, I'm a missionary at school when I'm a student. I'm a missionary at Hamilton Medical Center when I was employed there in the psych hospital. I'm a missionary to my neighbors. I'm a missionary to my family. Especially extended family. We're all called to not just evangelize, but to disciple. Okay? So, I want to just challenge you, and I wasn't even planning to say anything along this line. If you're missing some joy in your life, ask the Lord to connect you with people who are ready to hear the good news. I just find that people are so incredibly open. Just blows my mind. And when you pray with people, you know, before I never saw healing. I never saw the Lord heal somebody on the spot. And now I see it very frequently. But even if the Lord doesn't heal somebody, when you pray for someone, the Holy Spirit's going to touch that person. And they may be ready right then, or it may be the next time or the next time. You know, when I worked in a prison in Mexico, the first time I went, Everyone, I would pray. I would go sit in the chapel, which was Catholic, and I would just wait and look for somebody who looked like they were serious. And I would just come up to them and say, "Would you let me pray for you? Do you have any need in your life?" And I wasn't even enthusiastic about praying for any sickness because I never saw anything happen. And I would pray for them, and then the next time I would see them, I would offer to do the same. I wouldn't evangelize them. But what I discovered was that the third time I prayed with them, they would always receive the Lord. They would always be open to receiving the Lord because the prayer touched them each time, not me, but the Holy Spirit through the prayer. And they realized that they were getting something that they had never experienced before. So all of us have the capacity to do that. Sometimes we don't take advantage of that opportunity. But I just want you to know that we're the most fulfilled when we do the will of God, when we obey Him and we fulfill the mission that He has given to us. Whatever that mission is. All of us have the same general mission, but we also have specific missions that God has called us. Let's run to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you would, if you have your Bibles or your iPads or whatever, your cell phone. I want to talk just for a little bit about putting the pieces to the puzzle together in our lives. Because if I don't understand suffering, and I don't understand why God, if I don't understand the redemptive purpose of God when I go through afflictions and suffering, I'm going to have a temptation to become bitter, to become unbelieving, and even pull away from God and begin to judge God wrongly, obviously, because circumstances that He permits in my life don't make sense. They're painful, they're hurtful, and I get waylaid because I don't see any, I can't make any sense out of these circumstances. I don't know if anyone in here has ever had circumstances in your life that you couldn't make sense out of. My guess is that all of us, yes. And particularly when we are young, when we're children, when we're teenagers, and even adults, we have circumstances that don't make any sense. You know, I can remember when the Lord threw me into a Hispanic church. I had never studied Spanish. I didn't know anything other than buenos dias, buenas noches, and adios, and that was it. I'm serious. And He threw me in a church, and I'm like, "God, what are You doing? I'm not Hispanic. I don't speak Spanish. Why do You put me in a Hispanic church?" Didn't make any sense. I knew He did it. And I can remember that when the services, this was really long. This was a four-square Puerto Rican church in New York City. And I mean, their services were like easily three and a half hours. And after listening to 3.5 hours of Spanish, I was just like brain dead. I would literally almost run to my room after the service because I was just exhausted, trying to catch a word here and catch a word there. I had studied everything but Spanish, you know, French, Latin, Greek, Hebrew. I can't even remember what all, but let's look at verse 3. There's so much here, and I realize I'm not going to have time to get into all the detail that I'd love to. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all," that's a very key word, "who comforts us in all our affliction." Why? "So that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Okay, one of the titles of God here is God of all comfort. But I want you to notice here it says He comforts us in all our affliction. There's no exception to that. It can be sickness. It can be divorce, it can be death, It can be financial stress. It can be anything. God of all comfort. What a name. God of all comfort. You know, do we really believe this? The God of all comfort will comfort us in all our affliction, but He does it so that we can turn right around, take that comfort that we received from Him in the process, and He will use that to enable us to deposit His comfort that He's given to us in others. Now, let me just say very clearly that there are certain experiences that when we haven't had, it's difficult to really minister effectively to other people. For example, if both of your parents are still alive, you don't know what it's like to lose one or both of your parents. Now, obviously, it's the cycle of life, and those of us who are in our senior ages, you know, most of us have already gone through that, losing both parents maybe years ago. But I didn't know what that felt like and what that was until it happened. And because I've been through that and the Lord has been my comfort, I can give that comfort to other people with authority, with precision, and with great empathy. You know, divorce was just a word to me. It wasn't a part of our family. But when my wife decided to divorce me, that put a whole different heart inside of me of compassion. When somebody says, I'm divorced or I'm going through a divorce, it's just like, ooh, you know, let me pray for you. Let me encourage you, or let me encourage you not, you know, to fight for your marriage, you know, and not just to be so passive about this. Why? Well, you see, when I look back on my life as a child, there were so many things that seemed so pointless and cruel, because I didn't know what 2 Corinthians 1 said. I didn't know that God was preparing me for ministries that He wasn't going to give me until decades later. And I'm railing at God going, thanks, God, for giving me a mother who's mentally ill and in and out of psych hospitals and out of her mind, literally, non-functional in many occasions, irrational, paranoid. I was like, this is the craziest thing. You know, none of my friends have a mother like this. Why did you give me a mother like this? I was a believer. I read my Bible every day. I went to church numerous times a week. I didn't know that He was going to put me in a psych hospital for 13 years working, where I would be dealing with people and be able to speak with authority and with compassion into their lives. I didn't know that. That didn't come about until I was 50 years old. I was sexually abused as a child. And that was another big issue for me. I was like, this is so unfair, God. I wasn't even at the ripe age of 7 years old, 8 years old. I wasn't even tracking on anything sexual. This is so unfair. My parents are Christian. They live on a Christian university. They serve you. It's like, what's the, you know, where were you? I couldn't see anything redemptive at all. To me, it was like the devil won. He destroyed my life. He confused me. He messed me up. And I couldn't see anything redemptive at all. But what the Lord told me is like, Joel, can you thank me for allowing something like this, because I allowed it not to destroy you. I allowed it to do a deep work in your life. I was like, God, I can't understand that, but I will do it strictly by faith. Thank you, God, for allowing me to be sexually abused. I can't see any good thing come out of that, but I'm going to do what you told me to do. Well, the Lord began to heal me, first of all, because I was operating in faith and obedience. I was believing what His Word said.
But would you believe that years later, the Lord threw me into a counseling ministry that dealt exclusively with sexual abuse and sexual issues, but almost all of my clients were men and almost all of them had been sexually abused. And I would spend all day in a Christian clinic ministering to these men. Well, I could not speak to them with authority if I hadn't have been through that. That's exactly what this is saying. But you see, the catch is that when we're going through that, we don't see where it's taking us. As believers, if we allow the God of all comfort to comfort us in all of our affliction, then He prepares us and enables us, He equips us to turn right around and give to other people. You know, I can remember when we lost our first. And both of us were just kind of like, oh my goodness. You know, it's like, how do you even process that? It's so sad in this because we don't have, there's no ceremony when you lose a baby that wasn't born. I mean, a miscarriage is what I'm trying to say. I'm not doing a very good job at it. There's no ceremony. There's no nothing. There's no funeral. There's no visitation. It's just like, boom, all of a sudden you lose your dream baby, your first one. And you just have to kind of like suck it up and just go on. You know, and people don't want to say anything to you because they, you know, it's like they're afraid it's going to stir up the pain or whatever. So it's easier just not to say anything. Well, I remember when I went through that experience too, thinking, God, you know, it's like I waited till I was 42 to get married. You know, it's like we're getting off to kind of a late start here. And then the first baby that comes along, it's like, you know, what's going on here? And I remember that a friend of mine, a minister friend, had called me when they had lost their third pregnancy. And this was before I was even married. And I can remember how I felt so helpless to encourage him because I didn't even know what it was like to be a parent, much less to lose baby number three. But you know now, because of having been through these experiences, and I could go on and give you a long, 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 long list of things. The Lord knew that all along, what I didn't know. And this is where trust comes in. That I have to believe that God knows what He's doing, even though I don't know what He's doing. Because a lot of the times, we don't have a clue. And that's okay. I mean, the Bible tells us that, doesn't it? If I could figure God out, I would be equal with God. And I'm a long ways down the totem pole when it comes to being equal with God. See? God is God, and I'm very human, even though I may be semi-sanctified.
Semi-sanctified.
So let's look at this, because this is amazing. Let me just read this verse 4 again. It says, God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Then he jumped down to verse 8. It says, for we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Paul is not saying here that he was suicidal, just so you don't read into there something that's not there. I think he thought that their lives were going to end. And my guess is that, you know, with all the persecutions that he went through, he's alluding to that. That's what I believe. But look what it says here in verse 9. It says, indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would what? Not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. This is reason number two that God allows us to go through affliction, because He wants to knock the carnal props out of our lives where we trust in ourselves instead of trusting in Him. When you don't know whether you're going to live or die, who are you going to trust? If you're trusting the doctor, you're probably in sad shape. I'm serious.
Amen.
I'm very
Amen.
Serious.
Amen.
You know, the Lord is not glorified when we depend on ourselves. And I'm fully convinced that if I had not been sexually abused, that I would have walked away from God when I got out on my own and never come back. And I needed Him too much. I couldn't function by myself. I was too depressed. I was suicidal. I was confused. I was bitter. I was very angry. And I couldn't get my emotional, sexual life together if I'd have tried. And I honestly believe that if I had grown up and had a normal life with a normal, you know, with a mother who wasn't mentally ill and never been sexually abused, I believe it would have been very easy for me to turn my back on the Lord. And so I can honestly say, thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to suffer things that caused me to need you to even function as a human being. But you're so big and so good that you can take the trash in our lives and you can use it for your own glory. And I can speak into the lives of people today, and I can minister to them with great compassion, with understanding, because I've lived through those things. And I can remember guys would just be going, you know, they would go, how can you know what I feel? And I said, because I've been through that. You know, I know the anger, I know the rage, I know the confusion, I know the depression, and it's like, you know, the Lord wants to meet all of us at our point of need, or points, because usually we have more than one. And He's so faithful and He's so good. But we have to approach Him in faith. And when I don't approach the Lord in faith, it limits Him. Not because He's limited, but He has chosen to operate, as the psalmist said, He's exalted His word above even His name. Wow. Well, that's a whole sermon in itself. God operates through our faith. Faith is a choice. A choice to believe that what He says is true, and I have to tell my feelings basically to take a hike.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And I have to still do that on a daily basis.
Yes.
You know, in different areas, obviously. You know, it's not about my feelings. It's about what the Word says. It's about doing the will of God.
Amen.
But, you know, I have to come to Him and say, Lord, okay, now I'm going through new things that I don't understand. And I have to choose to believe and trust and say, Lord, thank You that You're going to take everything that I'm going through, and You're going to use it to enable me to be a more effective consoler of other people. You're going to use it to make me more dependent on You in a way that I haven't had to be before. You know, when I moved to Mexico last July, the Lord said, you're not going to buy a car. I want you to learn how to identify with people who are poor, who don't have their own car, and they have to take buses everywhere they go. And I'm like, okay, that's not very exciting, but Lord, you know, if that's what You want, then that's fine. And every time I would even think about a car, the Lord would say, no, you're gonna. And I said, okay, thank You, Lord, I'm going to just trust You with this. It's very inconvenient. And then we have to buy all your groceries and buy your water because you don't dare drink tap water in Mexico. And you're carrying, and then, the buses are like this, and then you bang your head on getting in and out and things of that nature. Well, when the Lord anointed me to heal, all of a sudden it took on a whole new perspective. Because the Lord gives me encounters with people on buses, and they get healed and they get saved. While they're just here, I'm not talking about a long trip, I'm talking about, you know. And it's like now, every time I get in, it's like, I wonder who the Lord's going to throw me in today. Before, I would sit up front, because that was just you and the driver. And I would always go for that front seat. And now it's like the Lord goes, no, I want to put you where you can have interactions with people. And it's like, I thought, God, if I had been driving my car all this time, I would never have had these encounters. And the Lord got me, the house that I got is like one block from where the base is. So I'm the first one who gets to get on the bus every time in the morning when I take it to work. And so I would always get the front seat. And now it's like I don't even really want to, because I won't have any interactions with anyone in the front seat. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you think about it.
Awesome.
How incredible is God? He knew that. He picked out this house. He knew it would be one, that it would be right by the base where they start for the day. But the cool part is that I'm able to pray with the drivers, because I'm the last one they let out. And I've had them to pray to receive the Lord. I've had the Lord heal them.
Hallelujah.
Because I'm not blocking them from doing their job. I'm the last person. They're one block from the base. And so I have freedom to evangelize. I have freedom to pray. I've seen the Lord heal them. I've seen them pray to receive the Lord. And, you know, there are no other people on the bus to embarrass them or to keep them from doing their job. I was like, God, you know, I couldn't have orchestrated that if I tried.
No.
See? But once again, it comes back to this. I believe there's so many Christians who like me, couldn't put any pieces of the puzzle together. And because we couldn't put the pieces of the puzzle together, what did we do? We just threw the puzzle away. And I believe today that God is here to put pieces of your puzzle back together. But it starts with faith. It starts with obedience. It starts with the willingness to say, God, you know, I don't have a clue. I never understood why. Never understood why you allowed this to happen in my life. But what I do know is this. You're good. You're faithful. You love me. And you're committed to me having not just a transformed life, but you're committed to me being equipped to minister effectively to other people who have been through similar or maybe even exactly the same situation. But it doesn't matter, because whatever the situation is that I have a need of being consoled by the Lord, that same comfort that I learned to receive from Him, I will now be able to give that to people. Such a gift. That's such a gift. That's the most precious gift, practically one of the most precious gifts that we can give to other people, is to comfort them with the same comfort that God has given us. You know, sometimes I pray for people and I just weep and weep and weep, and I know it's from the Holy Spirit. I don't have any reason to be doing that. I may not even know the person. And that's a gift. I start praying and I'm just weeping so hard I can hardly even pray. But I'm like, that person needed to feel the compassion of Christ through me. I mean, what do you feel when somebody comes up and they're just weeping? What does that make us feel on the inside? Wow, God, you know, you really care. You're showing me that, you know, through one of your sons or daughters. So I want to just invite you today to let the Holy Spirit sift through your life and take you to whatever you haven't been able to put together what didn't make sense, what seemed unfair, what seemed cruel, what seemed pointless. It may be things that you're going through right now. And say, Lord, I'm going to choose to believe what your word says here. I'm going to choose to believe that you're going to comfort me in this affliction so that you can prepare me to give to others. And I'm going to choose to believe that you are stripping me of anything, any person or circumstance that I would depend on myself or others instead of depending on you. Because when I depend on him, he gets all the glory, all the credit. And not me. Like I always tell people, I can't heal anybody. No. I said, the Lord is the healer. I said, I'm just a vessel.
Yes, sir.
And I said, well, he gets all the glory, not me. Because I can't do it in myself.
Yeah.
I can do it as I depend on him.
Yes.
See? Why don't we stand? Can you turn up the volume just a tad bit on the music, please? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We're so lost without you. We're helpless and hopeless. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come. Come, Lord Jesus, and give us grace to step into a position of faith and trust. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. Wash out of our hearts all bitterness, all unbelief, all anger and rage. Jesus, forgive us for judging you. Forgive us for judging you to be uncaring, for judging you to be unfair, for judging you to be cruel in things that you have allowed in our lives. Oh, Lord Jesus, wash our hearts clean with the blood of Jesus. Father, we step into today the truth that you are the God of all comfort. And we receive your comfort right now. Oh, Jesus, I speak comfort into the heart of every person who's been wounded, defeated. I speak healing, the comfort of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Father, we receive it right now. We receive it for every experience that has caused us to get sidetracked, to draw away from you, to blame you, to rail at you, maybe even curse you. Father, we receive. And Father, thank you that your word cannot be broken. It's yes and amen. And Father, we say to you this morning, we trust you. We trust you with the worst shameful failure, abuse, rejection, whatever it's been. Lord, we choose to trust you. Because you're trustworthy. And Father, thank you for not allowing us to depend on ourselves. Because we'd all do it if we could, I think. I know I would. Father, thank you that we can depend on you. And you allow circumstances to strip us of self-dependence, self-sufficiency. Receive. Let's just be silent and let the Holy Spirit minister. Thank you, Jesus.